In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen. I want to welcome you all to our Perseverance Family Conversation and Happy New Year. Happy New Year. So it's a Happy New Year in the liturgical sense. So as we start this liturgical New Year, let's start by inviting Mary to be with us. Mary has a very prominent place in this holy season of Advent. Also, as always, we go through the wonderful titles of Mary. Mary is the Mother of God. Mary is the Mother of the Church. And Mary is the mother of each and every one of us. Also, we pray that beautiful prayer, the Hail Holy Queen. We invoke Mary as our life, our sweetness, and our hope. So let's turn to Mary and ask Mary to help us, to pray with us, to pray for us, so that we can live out this holy season of Advent with great generosity, with great magnanimity. In the words of St. Ignatius, magnanimity, magna anima, a generous soul, together. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Now I'd like to invite to be with us our spiritual director. What a blessing to have as our spiritual director, the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit has many wonderful, wonderful titles. Holy Spirit is known as the Paraclete. It's also known as the Gift of Gifts. Holy Spirit is also known as the Sweet Guest of the Soul. Holy Spirit is also known as the Counselor. Counselor as well as the Consoler. Holy Spirit is also known as the Sanctifier, He who makes us holy. Holy Spirit is also known as the Interior Master or Teacher. St. Paul says in his letter to the Romans, chapter 8, that we really don't know how to pray as we ought. But the Holy Spirit intercedes with ineffable groans, so we can say, Abba. Abba, which means Father. So let's invite the Holy Spirit to be with us. As we pray, the classical prayer to the Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful, and enkindle within us the fire of your divine love. Send forth your Spirit, and they shall be created. And thou shalt renew the face of the earth. Let us pray. O God, who did instruct the hearts of your faithful by the light of the Holy Spirit, grant us that by the same Spirit we may be truly wise and ever rejoice in his consolation through the same Christ our Lord. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. O Lady Fatima, pray for us. Saint Joseph, pray for us. Saint Michael, pray for us. Saint Gabriel, pray for us. Saint Raphael, pray for us. Saint Ignatius of Loyola, pray for us. Saint Francis Xavier, pray for us. Saint Maria Faustina Kowalska, pray for us. All God's angels and saints, pray for us. In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, amen. How true, my friends, the family that prays together stays together, and a world at prayer is a world at peace. After praying with you, I promise to pray for you, and I'll pray for you in the greatest of all prayers. The greatest of all prayers is the holy sacrifice of the Mass. It is the prayer par excellence, the holy sacrifice of the Mass. I'd like to place all of you on the altar and offer various intentions. My first intention will be, I'd like to pray in a special way that all of us would be open to the Holy Spirit. Perhaps this can be our prayer. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come, Holy Spirit, come to the heart of Mary. Yes, it can be our prayer. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come, Holy Spirit, come to the heart of Mary. My next intention would be, I'd like to pray in a special way for all of our families. For the conversion, the sanctification, and the salvation of our families. Jesus says, what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? What does it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his soul? I'd like to pray for our family and family members. Next, I'd like to pray in a special way for those who will be dying sometime today. We don't know the day nor the hour of our death, but we have to be prepared. Pray for those who die today that they would die in God's friendship. And that we would have the grace of all graces to die in the state of grace. Yes. Amen. So praying for all of your intentions also. Pray for Emily, and many of you have special intentions, placing them in the altar and the holy sacrifice of the Mass. Amen. So I'd like to welcome all of you to the holy season of Advent. That's why I said at the beginning of my prayer, I said, Happy New Year. Maybe some of you are taken aback when Father Broome said, Happy New Year on December 1st. Some of you may be thinking, Father, you're a month early. Well, not really. Through the civil calendar, we start the new year January 1st. But the church new year actually starts the beginning of Advent, so I'm not off the mark. Happy New Year. So I'd like to help us all to enter into this holy season of Advent. Really enter into the season with a lot of goodwill on our part. So, the first thing I'd like to say is the importance of generosity. Generosity and really trying to live out this season Advent as best we can. To try to live out this season of Advent as best we can. A couple of days ago, I was trying to prepare myself for Advent. I was listening to a couple of talks. One talk I listened to was the well-known, the famous Father Mike Schmitz. And he said something that really took me aback, but I thought it was a good suggestion. He said, why don't we could try to live out this Advent so that on Christmas Day, he said this expression, we would wake up dead. Technically, that's a misnomer because if you're dead, you're not going to wake up. But he made that expression. It's understandable. Said, on Christmas Day, we're going to wake up dead. What he was really saying was that, you know, you're not going to wake up because you will be dead. Now, what he was heading at was the following, and I thought it very, very unique. You say we have these 25 days, we have 3.5 weeks, to get rid of, discard, put to death, so to speak, all the things in our life that are a dead end to God, that are preventing us from living our Catholic faith to the fullest. In other words, he was challenging all of us to examine our consciences. And he told of a story of a woman that was listening to his homily. And I think she had been to the University of Minnesota where he's been chaplain for a while. And this woman, years ago, was very mean to another girl on campus. Could have been on campus or could have been just in general, but very, very mean to this person. And really not knowing why, years later, the woman that was mean to the other one, taking into account this time to prepare for our own death, she made a phone call and apologized to the person that she hurt. And the person who was hurt was one, I always wondered, why were you so mean to me, but you're kind to the other people? And the person that was apologizing said, I admit it was jealousy, it was envy. So I'd really like to ask for your forgiveness. So they reconciled. So that could be a proposal on Advent. In our relationship with others, there is a breach. There is a standstill. There's an obstacle. Maybe we could breach that gap by reaching out and humbling ourselves and begging for forgiveness. That could be one thing that God is calling us to do, is not to have resentment and anger against anyone. Not to live with resentment and anger. I say that in a lot of the weddings. Yesterday I had a wedding, as you often do on Saturdays. And one of the points I made in my homily was the following. I said to the couple, in your married life, there's no such thing as a perfect marriage. Because the two that are married were born with original sin and are sinners. There's no such thing as a perfect marriage. Then he said, quoting that passage from Ephesians and the Old Testament, never allow the sun to go down on your anger. That's right. Never allow the sun to go down on your anger. So if you've had a conflict, maybe a quarrel, maybe an argument, a disagreement, whatever it might be, husband and wife should always try to reconcile before they retire. I would say also in general, in families, if there's a quarrel between a family member, to try to reconcile before the sun goes down. Because What cancer is to the body, so resentment and unresolved conflict is to the soul. I repeat, what cancer is to the body, anger, resentment, unresolved conflict is to the soul. That can wreak havoc. Dr. Adrian Rogers, the famous Baptist preacher, who I quote now and then for his depth of thought and the truth by which he preached, he said this. He used very graphic images. Person that has resentment and goes to bed with resentment is like going to bed with a female snake, and overnight the female snake lays eggs, and those little eggs are hatched within your soul. Wow, what do you think about that? Pretty strong. What he's saying is that you go to bed, you got a serpent, the serpent of anger within you, but the little serpent's hatch and it's going to be five times worse. Strong language, isn't it? Very strong language, but I think all of you understand it. Scary, but I think it can wake us up to the reality. And one of the reasons why marriages fall apart is because of unresolved conflict related to resentment. They say to the couple that the two most important things you can say would be, I love you and sorry and forgive me. And I forgive you. You know, sometimes we hold on to resentment over things that are insignificant. One of my favorite stories EWTN years ago had these little homily clips from an Irish Franciscan priest whose name was Father Clifford. He was an Irish Franciscan priest, and he told this story. That there was an Irish funeral for an elderly man, but during the course of the mass, the homily, the mass, next to the coffin, was another elderly man who was weeping profusely during the funeral mass. After the mass, the priest went down to the man that was weeping next to the coffin and very discreetly asked the man, was this a relative? And the man said, yes, it was my only brother. priest said, my condolences. Then the man went on to say, well, Father, we were not talking for 50 years. And I'd made the intention to reconcile with him last week, but he died before it happened. With great discretion, the priest asked him, well, what was the cause of the dissension? The surviving brother scratched his head and said, I don't even remember. I don't even remember. Wow. What do you think about that story? I think it's very good. Because we can see how there can be contention, bones of contention and division and separation, often because of things that are relatively insignificant. So true. It's over insignificant, unimportant things. And often what's related to this is pride. Pride and self-love. So I think this is one area we can maybe work on during Advent is to overcome our pride, our self-love, our woundedness. And to forgive those who have hurt us. Forgive those who have hurt us. Jesus says, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. I'd like to tell you another story because this time is supposed to be a time of peace in which we're trying to establish peace, especially between us and our family members. Here's a story that Father Craig McMahon told about 3 years ago. What had happened with one of his nieces in Northern California was run over by a car and killed. It's a tragic death. And of course, the mother of this daughter would be suffering intensely. Here's a story that Father Craig actually told. Told about 3 years ago, and I really liked it very much. There was a priest in, I think it's Wisconsin, named Father Dave, who told this story for Mercy Sunday. Told the story for Mercy Sunday. And it went like this. Father Dave, who preached this homily, Father Dave from Wisconsin, tells the story that when he was a seminarian with a couple other friends, fellow seminarians, they were on vacation traveling in his car, and they were somewhere in Pennsylvania. All of a sudden, this drunk driver ran the red light and crashed into his car with the other seminarians. Thanks be to God that none of them were killed nor even hurt seriously. But the car was totaled. When the seminary Dave got back to the seminary and was going to talk, wanted to talk it over with his spiritual director, who was a priest, he said to the priest, recounting the accident, and he was very, very angry at that man, who was an undocumented drunk man, rammed into his car, no insurance, car was totaled, no way of recovering his car. Very, very angry, that drunk driver. Very angry, furious. And we could commiserate with Dave. We probably feel the same thing. Now, his spiritual director was a priest, listening attentively to the story. Listening attentively to the story. Said this. Now, what I want you to do is every day for a week, I want you to make this prayer. God, bless that drunk driver that destroyed my car. And change me. Bless that drunk driver that totaled my car and changed me. Now Dave was shocked. And he told the priest, well, Father, I don't think you understood my story. The priest said, I understood your story perfectly. But Father, he's the one that totaled my car. He's the culpable one. I'm the innocent one. And his spiritual director said, I know. But we're called to live out the gospel. What do you mean? Well, you've read the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus says to walk the extra mile, but also he says we're called to pray for those who persecute us. And even to love our enemies. God the Father allows the sun to shine down on the good as well as the bad alike. What merit is it to love those who love us? Even the pagans do the same. Dave was really in shock. But his pre-spiritual director would not back down. So he left. Dave left the spiritual director somewhat in shock that was the advice that his spiritual director gave to him. And what happened, to make a long story short, is that one day when Dave started to pray that, he was still angry at the drunk driver. So he was still angry at this drunk driver. There's a sense of justice there. But his spiritual director was insisting upon peace, and this was preached on Mercy Sunday. Now what happened was, that as time went on, after about a month, in which he was praying this prayer every day for a month, Dave no longer had any bitterness or resentment against this drunk driver who destroyed his car. Quite the contrary. He was able to forgive him, not only with his lips and with his will, but also on an emotional level, that anger, the resentment that seemed to be burning him disappeared. So my friends, we're really seeing this, the power of prayer and the power of God's infinite mercy. The power of prayer and the power of God's infinite mercy. Jesus, in another passage, says that if you're going to the church and you're about to offer your gift, you go to the church, you're about to offer your gift. And you recognize that someone has something against you. Then, go. Leave your gift at the altar. So leave your gift at the altar. Go and be reconciled to your brother, then come back and offer your gift. You know, really what our Lord is saying is the following. The Lord is really saying this, that when we go to Mass, and we're presenting our gifts, we're participating in the greatest prayer of the whole world, which is the holy sacrifice of the Mass. And we recognize that we're clinging to some type of resentment we're clinging to some type of resentment. Then, we have to try to overcome that resentment. So that our hearts are free from anger and bitterness. Well, I'm on a roll. I have a lot of stories today to kind of illustrate these points. This now is a personal experience I had in the parish years ago. So what we're saying, my friends, to really live out this Advent, we want to start off on the right foot, where we're not clinging to any resentment or bitterness. And it's true what Beatrice says, sometimes the resentments are hidden, forgotten, hidden within us. Then maybe we make a retreat in silence and they surface again. Here's the personal anecdote. One occasion, so many years ago, when I was with Father Larry, and he summoned me to come into his office. This was in the old church building. And he said, you know what happened is that you hurt one of the women in the parish. You said something, did something, you hurt her feelings, and she's angry. And what he said was he had her name, her phone number, and her address. She lived in Hawaiian Gardens, not too far away. And Father Larry had a new Bible. So he said, why don't you do this? Go to the house of the woman, try to reconcile, and as a gesture of reconciliation, give her this new Bible. It's a token of your reconciliation. Right away, my pride surfaced because I was not really clear. Was not really so clear as to what I had done to hurt this woman, because sometimes we deal with so many people, and it could be not greeting, or maybe, you know, a frown, or maybe, it could be so many different things, and sometimes we hurt people unintentionally. But the interesting thing is Jesus does not say who's at fault. Just try to make this gesture of reconciliation. But I bristled and I recoiled at it and really didn't want to do it. But as a priest and religious, I have a vow. One of the vows is obedience. So, somewhat with this interior resistance, I felt really kind of bad. Well, I'm going to do it. So I took the address to the woman. I got in my car. Found the house. Parked my car outside her house. And then I went to her house. I rang the doorbell. she opened up. They said, sorry for what happened about this breach, but here's a sign of my reconciliation. And I gave her the new Bible. I shook her hand and blessed her. Almost with tears in her eyes, there was the reconciliation, forgiveness, and there was, once again, the harmony rather than the resentment and bitterness. It's a great story, isn't it? It's a very good story. God speaks to me often through circumstances and events and experiences. Now this happened more than 25 years ago. Now if I did not make that gesture happen more than 25 years ago, if I had not made that gesture, this woman, probably to this very day, 25 years later, probably, most likely, she would still have this anger and resentment against me, even though 25 years have transpired since. That's why the Bible says not to allow the sun to go down on your anger. And before offering your gift, if someone has something against you, leave your gift and be reconciled. And if you like the Our Father, in the Our Father, the Lord's Prayer, we actually say, you know what I'm going to say right now, I'm sure. We say, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. So my friends, Happy New Year. This was the suggestion that I was giving to you today by means of many stories. We don't want to be living with anger, with bitterness, with resentment. Because we can become slaves of our own resentments. And Jesus in his first preaching in Capernaum, quoting the prophet Isaiah, says, he's come to set captives free. He's come to set captives free. Once we're able to forgive those who have hurt us, we've come to set captives free. And that person that is freed from the cage of his own resentment is you and me. So may God bless you. And I invite you to share our message with many of your friends, because many people live with resentment, with a lack of forgiveness. Many, many people. That's why I talked about that. So share this with your friends. This could help them to enter into the season of Advent with a proper disposition. Now I'd like to give all of you I'd like to give all of you my priestly blessing. The Lord be with you. May Almighty God bless you as we enter into this holy season of Advent through Mary's prayers. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.